every morning. What I'm going to share with you today is part of my testimony and my life after becoming a Christian and how that really affected my relationship with my family. We have taught many churches teach still that your family will be delighted with your decision to follow Jesus. Yeah, well, mine wasn't. In fact, they were kind of just the opposite. And in fact, Jesus said, this is going to be the norm, is your family's going to abandon you. In Luke 12:51 and 52, Jesus says this, do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. In my case, it was three against one. Let me tell you, it was not fun. I made my decision to follow Christ and commit my life to him in July of 1979 in Wisconsin, Green Lake, Wisconsin, at the American Baptist Assembly Grounds. The youth leader was Dennis Doherty, a great man of God, whom I have deep respect for to this day, for he and his wife. And they were kind enough to work with me for 2 years before I made my decision. Now, I began attending church in 77 at my grandmother's request, read here order, and I began going to the youth functions, and my dad said, it's fine if you go, but don't you dare go getting religion. I still, to this day, don't know what my dad had against the church at the time, but mom and dad did have some major issues. So in 1979, what's called an altar call is given. And they tell you, if you want to commit your life to Christ, come on up and we'll pray with you. Okay, I go on up and they pray with me. I decide, yes, I want to commit my life to Christ. I get home, and everyone on the way home from Wisconsin, Green Lake, Wisconsin, to Lansing, keeps telling me, oh, your parents will be just delighted and so excited for you. Not the term I would use. No. Now, anyone that's done any wargaming or Dungeons and Dragons kind of thing, you know strategy. I planned on making my announcement at a family get-together. And that way I knew at least there'd be witnesses to the crime if my dad decided to end my life. Which, you understand, my dad was 6'6". His hobby was blacksmithing. He had arms like the Hulk. And, yeah, it's kind of fear when he got mad. Well, he come at me with a razor strop. And if you've ever been hit with one of those things, you know the meaning of the word pain. My little grandmother, 80 years old, if she weighed 100 pounds soaking wet, it's because she had a 20-pound bag of cement on her shoulder. She had a cane. This is a cane. She had a cane. A war club. And she got between me and my dad, and the next thing I know, my dad's down on the ground. Nobody had put my dad on his back like that I had ever seen. And I seen him get into a few brawls. So my grandmother proceeds to read him the riot act. You will not hit my grandson. He is a follower of Jesus Christ now. You can just get used to the fact. And if I find out you hit him, you'll answer to me. And I never seen my grandmother like this. Was the grandmother that baked cookies and read stories to me and cared for me when I was injured through my own stupidity. We'll talk about that another time. There's nothing there that said my grandma was trained as a ninja. I hold to that to this day. Mabel Ray was trained as a ninja. And all the families watching, my dad's two brothers, his sisters, my great aunt, which was my grandmother's sister, my great uncle, who was married to my grandmother's sister, my cousin, all their jaws went from here down to the floor real quick. Gentle, kind Mabel, the follower of Jesus Christ, was a ninja and protected me from my dad. Well, that didn't end there. It was a long time before my dad would even speak to me again. Several years, about a year and a half, 2 years, I want to say, before he had something to say to me. He said it through my mother. And I I wondered, why me? You know, but the Bible teaches us that that is our norm. Expect to be abandoned, expect friends to walk away. I was dungeon master for a large table of players. And I had someone, they found out I decided to follow Jesus. They quit coming, which was kind of hurtful because there were people that I really liked. I had to adjust to that. That persecution does not always come in the form of a government hunting you or a particular religious group hunting you because you don't believe like they do. It often comes from the people you care for the most. So what was I going to do? Well, I moped for a while. For a 14-year-old, that is the normal mode of operation in 1979. I don't know how it is now. Maybe being 14 changed, but I mope. I'm a good moper. I can really mope. I separated myself from anything that wasn't my church family and my game table. I didn't socialize much at school. I was in marching band, so I wasn't into sports. Unless it was soccer or baseball, that I enjoyed. But when I separated myself, I realized as I grew in Christ that that isn't God's plan for his people. He intends for us to be on display. And Elder Herb was the elder at my first church, took me under his wing and began to care for me and care about me. He ran me through scripture. He let me vent when I needed to. He became a substitute for my dad. But in all that time, he kept encouraging me, don't disrespect, honor your mother and your father. Because you don't know that your life might, just might, be what changes their mind and wins their heart to Christ. So I took what he said, and I did what he said. I figure he'd been there and done that, so he probably knows. He came from a rough background like I did. Parents didn't like God, didn't like the church, had no use for either one. So he really knew what I was going through. Hey, this is cool. Somebody who cares. Dennis Doherty, he came alongside me. I am the product of many men, not just one. The senior pastor, Dr. Jones, he came alongside me, and he built my love of the scriptures and studying the scriptures. And this guy was barely 5 foot. He was about the size of my mom, but he knew the Bible inside and out, and he could give you the college answer versus the what I call the everyday answer. So I'm going along in my Christian life, and leadership changes at church. The older men retire and move on. Newer, younger men come up. Some issues come up in other churches, and they decide, you know, we really like Forrest, but because his parents aren't a part of the church, he wasn't born in the church, we really can't let him do a whole lot. One, I was still legally a minor child at this point. This is about 83. I was just getting ready to graduate. I was 17. And they were worried about getting sued by my parents. Logical fear. I wouldn't have put it past my dad at that point to sue the church. But I had been involved up to this point in evangelism. I had helped with holiday events. Other special events. And let me tell you, I was loving every minute of it. And we had a ministry to people that were listening to heavy metal. And we had a ministry to people that were in arts and crafts. That church was going until the leadership changed. Well, my 18th birthday rolls around. As birthdays always do, it seems. It's time for a change. I'm not going to be allowed to serve. So Randy Orr, great guy, if you've ever met him, you know him, you will understand why. He's probably my best friend to this day. Comes down and says, well, come on to my church. Okay, I go, hey, you've got a good morning service. You know, it's kind of a country church. Just plain folks, just like me. A lot of folks there that have been hurt, in much the same way I had been abandoned. They took me under their wing. I remember the night I talked to Pastor Leo Evans. I said, Pastor, I'm looking for a church where I can serve. And he reached out and said, gotcha. And I served there for 10 years. Well, somewhere along the line, we forgot to reach out to people, and it closed the doors of that church. We had some issues going on that should have been addressed that weren't. But I learned something. I learned where my family was. Guess where? My family was not just my physical, temporal, earthly family. Luke 18, 28 through 30. Peter had probably some of the same questions I did. He said, We have left all we had to follow you. Jesus replied, truly I tell you, Jesus said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brother or sister or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come eternal life. Ask me if it's worth following Jesus. My answer is yes. Now, I worked through some issues. Cindy, you know my story. You can probably fall asleep at this point. But I began to work through the issues of who my family is. Yes, my family was my mom, my dad, my brother, aunts, uncles, cousins. They were family. No doubting that. You look at a picture of my dad when he was 18 and a picture of me when I was 18, and we look dead alike. Both have flat top haircuts. We both had the same facial features, no question about it. My mom hung my dad's army picture up. He was in the Class A uniform, served in Korea. And when the care workers came in to help with her care toward the end of her life, one of them said, oh, I didn't know you were in the Army Force. I said, no, that's my dad. That's Corporal Ernest D. Ray, late of the 592nd Single Corps Radio Group. And believe it or not, I was actually proud of my dad, very proud. I mean, he taught me a lot. He taught me how to work with metal and wood and put a love in me of anything mechanical. We just had to tear it apart and put it back together, see how it worked. And he did foster in me all my life. But don't think it was all bad. He was the guy that made pizza for my game group. He began to soften as I began to live Jesus in front of him. Big discussion that I have with Randy to this day is our purpose as Christians to build up Jesus and build. But I discovered I got more family than that. Got family here at Cornerstone, several other churches. In fact, every church that follows Jesus Christ on this planet is family. I did receive much more than what I started out with. There is hope at the end of the road. In my story, this story has a happy ending, a real happy ending. My dad came down with brain cancer in 2006, end of 2005, beginning of 2006. It was terminal. Well, through divine intervention, people were placed in my dad's path that shared the gospel with him. He bowed his knee to Jesus Christ before he died, and he shared with me on his deathbed. Most of you know, since 2009, I was a caregiver for my mother after her stroke. And all that time, she was mad at God. But a hospice chaplain, she visited my mom regularly. She sang to my mom. She played music to my mom. She read the scripture to my mom. And quietly, in that little room in that nursing home, my mother bowed her knee to Jesus Christ. Stay the course, my friends. Family might abandon you, but you don't abandon them. You keep praying for them. You keep loving them. You keep on keeping on. I remember what my pastor told me when he found out what was going on at home and why I had to wait for baptism for a good year. And he quoted to me Winston Churchill, of all people, And he said this, never, never quit. Simple words. Very, very deep meaning. Why never, never quit? And as I grew, as I become more acquainted with what's in God's word, I realized that they were worth it. It was worth the pain. Yeah, it hurt at the time, but it's time. But now I know what that steel at my dad's forge felt like. Put it in that forge, get that steel red hot, and he always knew just when to take it out and hammer it. And that's the way it is with our lives. When we live Christ in front of others, we're going to be hammered, just like that steel. But when we come past it, when it comes to the end, we'll be something great. My dad never made junk. All the years that I watched him at that forge. And then in the end, he bowed his knee. He became something great. And I said, all this pain, God, thank you. All this hurt, thank you. It was worth it to see them, mom, dad, repent, come to know Christ before they die. They're not the first ones. My cousin Art died in 1999, like a brother to me. Come to know Christ before he died. Don't know what it is in my family anymore, but I'm glad they come to know him. Let's take a minute and pray together. Oh, Father, how great you are. You sent Jesus to pay our price. And we deserve death. And we deserve hell. You made us. You made a road out for us, a way that was perfect in your sight. And you cast our sin as far as the east is from the west and remember it no more. We are grateful for that. We give you praise and honor in Jesus' name.